So for this third session, we're going to be looking at a couple of the slogans. One is drive all blames into one, and the other is always have the support of a joyful mind. So when the instructions are drive all blames into one, can you, those who have not yet heard this, figure out which one that is? And of course, it is our ego clinging into which we drive all blames. Here. So this morning, we said, taking all the suffering, and now we're saying, drive all blames into yourself. Pretty rough practice. But you understand. You understand about Tom Glenn and what that really means. And likewise, driving all blames into one. All blames for what might come up as a question. What are we driving all the blames for? You know, if somebody backs into the telephone pole, oh, I'm sorry, man. You know, it's clearly, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is our own afflictive emotions. That the anger, frustration, irritability, anxiety, fearfulness, envy, jealousy, loneliness, all of these afflictive emotions are found in our minds. That's where they're born, that's where they live. And it's a real situation of changing the way we see things. Because there is such a tendency to look out there to the cause of our suffering. In fact, you can kind of say, wait a second now. He did cause my suffering, by golly. He's the author of my anger. She's the author of my fear. Because it sure can feel that way sometimes. True. Seems like it's coming from out there. But we also notice that where I might be really distressed by something somebody said or did, somebody else might be perfectly okay with it. No problem. Maybe even like it. Think politics. So it's pretty clear that if all these different reactions are happening to the same event out there, that the cause of the different reactions are in here. Which is a very good thing. Take a moment and just settle in again. Just settle in a little bit. Relax. find that comfortable position. Take a couple of breaths. And bring to mind the circumstance in which you experienced the feeling that something out there caused your fill-in-the-blank anger, fear. That your anger, fear, jealousy, whatever it might be, was because of that. In fact, I'm going to narrow it down a little bit further. Make this a person that you feel was the cause of this feeling state. It might be somebody you know personally, it might be a public person, it doesn't matter. Just find that situation where that person doesn't seem to cause this afflictive emotion to arise in me. Now the practical question arises, do you really want to give that person control over how you feel? Because that's what we do when we think in this way. We're disempowering ourselves. We're saying, oh, this one over here can cause me to feel X, Y, Z. From a practical standpoint, is that going to be helpful? And of course, it won't be. We'd like to have some ability to have an effect on our own emotional states. And now for a moment, examine whatever that emotion is that has arisen in response to whatever the stimulus was out there. And yes, there certainly are things that happen in the world that can really bring up suddenly, there it is, the feeling has arisen. Let me move to a second thought practice. Oh, this happened, anger has arisen. Okay. So now we look, our second thought. And if you're experiencing an emotion that you've managed to bring up with this exercise, just have a look at that. Have a look at it in your body. Where do you feel that? What does it feel like? Does it shift and move? Or does it stay the same? Are the thoughts that arise in reference to the feeling staying the same? Or do other thoughts arise? Do other feelings come into play? And as you look at this situation that has arisen in response to something out there, quote, are you having any difficulty sticking with it? Or like trying to put your attention on your breath, does it get away from you a little bit? Perhaps it's not so compelling as we first give credence to it for. What's really there? So letting go of that and just taking a breath again, exhaling whatever's there. This slogan is one that we can use throughout the day. Whenever something arises that results in an afflictive feeling, one of the things that I do, my go-to, is to immediately acknowledge, oh, clearly, things are not going just the way Ken thinks they ought to go. And furthermore, they really ought to go that way because it's me. And when I say it that way, it's so silly and so ridiculous and so patently absurd that I've already kind of disempowered whatever that might be that's poking its little head up. For me, that acknowledgement, things aren't going my way, and the ego clinging that's a part of that, that it should go my way, is where the blame lies. That's where it is. Those beliefs. And there may be situations that arise where you feel like, you know, I should have an emotional reaction. I should be angry here. This should make me angry. In fact, as the bumper sticker says, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention, right? Righteous indignation. What a wonderful afflictive emotion that is, because we can wallow in it. It can feel actually good. I'm mad at that, and that deserves to be mad at, and I'm here to tell you, and there you go. Things aren't going the way Ken wants them to. You know, so a situation of injustice arises, or a situation of abuse is in front of you, and your first response is, that really makes me angry. That really makes me sad. That really makes me fearful. And this slogan is saying, that's maybe happening, and you may need to do something about it. It's very important. You may need to do something about it. But the anger that you're experiencing has its roots in forgetting about the preliminary practice of causes and conditions. A lot of you have heard this metaphor before, but I like it, so I use it from time to time. It's kind of like you're a teacher on the playground, and there's a bully out there. And our world is full of bullies recently. You may have noticed it probably always has been, but right now it seems like it's chock full. And people are being hurt out there. Maybe in here as well. If the teacher recognizes that the bully is the bully because of causes and conditions, which may be their genetics, maybe their upbringing, current experiences, who knows what it is, but across the board, the teacher recognizes that, then the teacher might say, oh yeah, I know this kid. What a life he's had. Unbelievable. And then the teacher moves to stop the behavior of the bully. Because that's the teacher's job. We need to stop that. We need to stop that abuse. We need to do it right now. But to move into that position with understanding and some compassion for both sides of the equation is very different than moving in there, getting ready to smack the bully around. You know, hang him up by his little belt on a coat hook somewhere, and you know, where they used to do in elementary school. Very different, and will have a profoundly different effect in the world. If you go the way of responding with anger, responding with violence in some way, responding in the non-understanding way, it's not going to change what's going on with the one that's causing the pain to other people. So rolling all blames into one, in this case, rolling the responsibility for my anger into my lack of understanding of various kinds of things, recognizing that that is really there, and then being able to step back and say, how do I want to be in this moment? What is really going to be helpful at this point? How can I be with my aspiration of wanting to make the world more peaceful, of wanting to be of benefit to beings? That spaciousness is there once we've taken that responsibility. If we don't take that responsibility, then, you know, it's mayhem, as you may have noticed, because people don't, in general, do that. It's a very practical slogan. And it can change, again, we make that turn. Which kind of segues into the other slogan we're looking at here. Which is, use the words exactly here. Always have the support of a joyful mind. This slogan is part of the assessment point of the Lojong slogans and mind trainings. It's in the fifth point. It's in the point that says, how you doing? You know, how's your practice of Lojong coming along these days? Do you have the support of a joyful mind? So in some ways, it's kind of expecting that you've already done some of these. You've looked at the preliminaries. You're aware of what your aspiration is. You've learned to calm the mind, steady the mind with shamatha. You've begun to do some practices with absolute bodhicitta, resting in pure awareness of relative bodhicitta, begun doing some metta, some tonglen. And then it says, so, how's it going? Do you have the support of a joyful mind? And then what is it? What is a joyful mind? You know, how can we tell? Is our mind joyful? Some teachers say peaceful mind. I kind of like combining the two somehow, a peaceful joy. Well, are we feeling more at ease, comfortable in our own skin, able to walk out into the day without needing to have expectations of exactly how it's going to go, and if it doesn't go that way, my whole day is ruined? Can we just go out there and meet what's there with some trust? Having the support of a joyful mind on a constant basis does not mean that ups and downs don't happen. It doesn't mean that that grief doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that any of these momentary changes of emotional states don't happen. It means that fundamentally, Are we noticing that we're having the support of a mind increasingly of ease, increasingly compassionate, and decreasingly grabbing? For me, one of the aspects of a joyful mind is something comes up that I want that. It might be some, whatever, musical instrument. I like musical instruments. Oh, I want that one. The joyful mind will say, really? Sure about that? Let's look again. You know, it has a lightness to it about ourselves. It's part of it is, don't take yourself so seriously. Smile at yourself a little bit. Poke at yourself a little bit. So if you check that and you say, no, actually, I don't notice that I'm really having the support of a joyful mind, which would be a very good check, then the question arises, what to do? How does one cultivate a joyful mind? Because for sure, we can't go, joyful mind, right? I mean, you can't force a joyful mind. One answer that we've already heard is all the misery and pain in the world come from seeking our own happiness. All the joy in the world comes from seeking the happiness of others. There's Shantideva again just saying, that's how it is. And as we talked earlier, check it out. We've all been trying to do our own happiness, and you know what? Here we all are saying, geez, and things could be different than they are. And again, you may recall the image you brought up of when you were there with someone else, were being helpful or being of benefit to others, and how you felt. There's a real key point right there that Shantideva brings to us. How do we do that? Well, these practices that we've looked at this afternoon are one of the ways of doing that. Do you regularly do some metta practice? Do you regularly do some Tonglen? Have you set an aspiration that's clear to you? And is that something that you nurture and cultivate and pay attention to? When you get up in the morning is a wonderful time to reestablish that. As a number of you know, I have for years used the morning gatha that Thich Nhat Hanh talks about. Waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. Excuse me. May I live them in mindfulness and presence. And may I see all beings with eyes of compassion. It's an interesting one because some mornings when I wake up, I do not feel like smiling. Oh, geez, do I have to get up and do that? Yeah. There's a story of one of Thich Nhat Hanh's female monastics, Sister Annabelle Laity, who described waking up one morning and she was far away from a smile. And she said, I'm not getting up till I can genuinely smile. Waking up this morning, I smile. So how do we do that? One of the practices we can do to help with that is one of gratitude. We are so often inundated in our own minds with all the things that we wish were different than they are and all the pain in the world that we're witnessing in so many different ways that we forget to have a good look at what we're really grateful for. And spending just a moment bringing up something for which in this moment, in fact, let's do that. Let's just take a moment. And just once again, settle out. Take a breath, let everything go. You know, we've been talking a lot about suffering and afflictive emotions and all of these things. Just take a moment and let the awareness of something for which you are truly grateful today, now, arise in your mind. It might be a being of some kind, human or otherwise. It might be a situation. Whatever it might be, let it be there. And just make it as fully present as you can. If there's sound, let the sound be there. If there's a smell, let the smell be there. See it visually as clearly as you can and begin to experience the feeling tone that arises. Maybe it's a little bit of, maybe there's a little bit of, thank you, I'm so, so grateful that you're in my life. And then with an in-breath and an out-breath, just let that go, but let the feeling linger. This feeling of gratitude. This is something in my life that I treasure and I'm so happy about. And perhaps you can smile. So, waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. Of course, 24 brand new hours are always before us, and thus we're going to die within the next day. And who knows, it may happen. But leaving that aside, we always have that. May I live them in mindfulness, in presence, in awareness. And so setting an intention each day, each morning. May I see all beings with eyes of compassion. Setting once again that aspiration, that intention to be of benefit, to see the needs of others. All the happiness in the world comes from seeking the happiness of others. So see that. For me, I've used this long enough, and this I know happens with other people as well, using whatever slogans they like, that it'll pop up unbidden. When my mind is starting to go and criticize, judgment, sometimes about me, but very often about something out there. Eyes of compassion. Oh. Thanks, boss. The words will actually just come into my mind. And that's the power of these slogans when they're used often enough, repeatedly. Fred's going to be talking about familiarization shortly. We familiarize ourselves by repetition, by doing these things frequently over and over again until it just starts to arise on its own. And we can begin to really experience the support of a joyful mind. I think I'll stop there. And see if there are any questions that have arisen about the practices of metta, about the practices of involved with Tom Glenn, about rolling all blames into one, about the support of a joyful mind. Yes.
I'm actually more so just seeking guidance. Can you hear me?
I don't think you're on the mic. Is the system working with the auxiliary mic? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Now can you hear me?
Okay, much better.
Cool. All right, so I'm more so seeking advice or like your thoughts on something that I personally struggle with, which is like if I'm having an uncomfortable conversation or just diving inward, like and trying to express my feelings. Like, so when we were diving into like the feeling or the experience in our body of when we were having like when we were being faced with some form of opposition or something that we didn't like really want, I really struggle with describing those like feelings, like putting words to it. Especially when I'm trying to have a conversation with someone else about how I'm feeling. Do you have like any, I guess, maybe advice or practices that you know of that may help to, it's like I want to label something that's more so an experience that I'm feeling within me, but it's important for me to like.
I think I understand your question. And I think it's a very good question. And I'm not sure I have any advice for, at the moment, shooting from the hip, what you're going to do right then. What comes to my mind is for you to really spend some time looking at these feelings that you're trying to describe, really becoming familiar with them and exploring them. You're recognizing them, which is the first big step, that if it doesn't happen, nothing happens. You're saying, oh, there's this feeling. What is it? Well, I'm not exactly sure how to put it. Well, you can take that feeling onto the mat. I know you can't do that when you're talking to your friends. You do this, you know, as just a general practice. So when you are talking to your friends, this can come up. And you can be there with it in this way that we've been talking about to some degree. Oh, here's this feeling. I don't know what it is. But first question, do you like it? Do you not like it? Is it a positive feeling or is it a negative feeling? Oh, it's a negative feeling. You probably wouldn't be paying so much attention to it if it was a positive one. So, okay, it's a negative feeling. So where in my body am I feeling that? Go to the body. The body can tell you a lot. You know, and how does it feel in there? Is it tight? Does it ache? Do I feel hollow? Is there tension? Really, you know, explore. Look in there. And the shifting of what's going on in your body, as well as the shifting of whatever this feeling that's arising might be. Because we think of it as, oh, it's a feeling, you know, it's this thing. It's not this thing. It's what Fred was talking about earlier. It's an ever-shifting, ever-changing dance, as is everything. Our bodies, this room, and for sure, the feelings you're talking about, you know, they're moving. So you're never going to be able to grab one and hold on to it. It's not like it's nebulous and elusive. But you really can explore. You recognize. And the second part, which you're also seeming to do, is you accept it.
It sounds very similar to Tara Brach's Rain.
It is exactly, yeah. Tara Brach's Rain. We have taught that. Angie and I did from up here not too long ago.
Yeah.
You recognize, you accept, you, yeah, investigate. And that last part of it is that you don't identify that as who you are. Passing show. It's passing show.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Is it okay to ask one from the morning?
Sure, what the heck?
My experience of dreams are not really about fleshing out mental chatter. They're more meaningful and sometimes involve messages that might offer guidance. And sometimes I see people that have passed on. So those are important to me. So I'm trying to conceptualize the absolute bodhicitta as more just sleep and then wake, and then we want to wake from the awake state. Is that a way of putting it? Rather than just, because dreams have value to me, and it felt like they were kind of being dismissed as illusory, illusions. So a sleep state and a wake state that you can wake up from, is that a way of putting it?
Yeah, I guess it is. The parallel that's being drawn could be put the other way. That rather than that this life is like a dream, that your dream life that you're describing is like this one. And both ultimately have no substance that you can hold on and grasp, although in both situations there might be something very compelling and truly important in the world of duality and conditions. It may be very important in terms of suffering. It may be very important in terms of understanding in this relative world. While at the same time, when really trying to find out what it is and holding on to it, it's not there. So those are both there at the same time. I understand what you're saying about dreams, and I imagine everyone in here has their own particular take on that. I've learned a lot from my dreams, and I think sometimes they point me towards things I might not have seen. Some of the world's greatest discoveries, even scientific ones, have occurred from waking from a dream. So, you know, the example is just a metaphor. It's not going to hold thoroughly true all the way through. It's just a way of thinking about these things. The relief, if you've had a horrible loss in a dream and you wake up and you say, oh my God, thank God, that was just a dream, is very palpable. You can feel that. And we talked about that some this morning also, that the same loss here, when looked at, although seemingly more real, ultimately ends up in that same place. Yeah. Did I speak to your question at all? Do you have a follow-up?
No, thank
you. Okay. We have time for maybe one more.
Regarding metta, when we want to extend our well wishes to a particular person, and that person may be exhibiting in my vision some behavior that doesn't mesh with what I want to expect, that I want to see, how can you address, please, projection? Am I right in observing a behavior that doesn't quite mesh? Are they really angry with me? Or am I not reading the situation correctly? How is there can you address that a little bit?
I think I understand your question.
Okay.
If I start going off track, let me know. Yeah. The first thing we're noticing is that you're saying, you know, the world is not going the way I want it to. So one of the first things that's happening is that you're experiencing some kind of response to that feeling that the world isn't going as it should. And this person over here is the one that's going off the rails, and something needs to be done about that. So there are feelings about that, right?
And that's part of the question, is what do I do with it then?
Yeah, well, you know, there's when we're offering metta, it is a freely given, may you be well. May your compassion grow. Just as you are, with all your warts and wrinkles and all the annoying things and all that stuff, just as you are, the same way you do it for yourself, just as you are. May you experience joy in your life. So this is a giving of love. Now, part of your question gets into, am I seeing things clearly in terms of my relationship? And, you know, the first thing that came into my mind is, you might want to ask if you're in that kind of relationship. This is my perception. It seems like this is happening. What's it like from your side of the fence over there? I'm curious. Are my perceptions about what you are feeling, which we make up stories about all the time and go down the rabbit hole constantly, you might be in a situation where you can actually check it out, you know, and see. And we're not always in that situation. Sometimes we don't have that kind of relationship. So, where I go in that is, I know I make up stories, and my mind does all kinds of things that are delusional, off the mark, and I'm not in charge of him. Thank goodness, eh? may you be happy and well. Now, sometimes you're in a situation where you can actually offer something more concretely in the way of being a benefit. And sometimes you're not. And sometimes you can see the causes and conditions that lie behind why a person presents as they do. And sometimes you can't. But one thing you can know for sure is there are causes and conditions. Here we go back to that preliminary again. People, events, the weather, you name it, arises as it does because of causes and conditions. It's just how it is. It kind of takes the blame out of the situation. You should be better than you are. Well, causes and conditions are manifesting before my eyes.
And if the finger's pointing back at yourself?
If you're doing that to yourself?
I should be better.
Same thing. You know, the things that are arising in me that I don't like? Causes and conditions. And to treat yourself as you would, you know, you're sitting with your friend. Your friend is telling you things about difficult emotions that are arising and things they wish were different about themselves. And you're sitting there with a warm feeling in your heart, really liking your friend and thinking, you know, they're there because of these events, these causes and conditions that result in who you are today. The same is true for you. So you can kind of practice treating yourself as you would your friend. In a similar way, oh, yeah, man, I don't like this feeling of jealousy that's arising in me. I want to get rid of it. Where did it come from? Well, it's there because of causes and conditions. And then you can begin to do some of these other practices, even with yourself.
Thank you.
So we'll go ahead and stop now. We have a short break.